Song.
Thank you. Good morning. Morning. Oh, what's happening here? Do you want me to sit on it? Carry me back? Very talented people. Can sing, play instruments, and shift furniture. If you're moving house, email the church, we'll send you Opili's number, and he'll be there on his way. Hey, last night we had our second Red Frogs event that we attended in the uni, and we got to serve and support the university at Canefields College, which is the residential arm of CQU. And it's just been awesome to go in and hang out with the uni students and serve them, support them, encourage them, and create opportunities to share the goodness of God with them. And so it's been awesome. So I want to shout out all our Red Frogs. Well done. You guys are awesome. Such a good time. And yeah, this morning I'm going to share a message about growing in the gospel. I got to visit Bowen on Friday night, and we got to share and preach in the youth ministry in Bowen. We had an awesome, awesome night. They're doing a great job up there. We saw a full altar, many receiving Jesus and surrendering to God, and a lot of healings took place, a lot of breakthroughs. It was a really awesome night. God was really moving. And this morning, I want to share some of the thoughts that were on my heart this week that I also shared in Bowen. And so today I thought we'd share from the perspective of really going deeper and understanding the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I'm really excited about this. If I could preach on any topic, I want to preach on the gospel. If I had the opportunity to share and I had one last message to share, I'd share the gospel, I'd share the good news. And feeling a little bit uncomfortable this morning, a little bit nervous, I think because I've been drinking too much water. And so I was like, oh, maybe I could have slipped out during the announcements, but I didn't, so pray for me. I'm going to also open up with a bit of scripture today, and usually when I preach, I'll highlight like a specific verse of scripture, but today I actually just want to read like an extension of a chapter. And so the Word of God is powerful. Now, it's not like I'm getting to share and be, what's it called, super charismatic. I want you to read with me, okay? This is not me entertaining you this morning. This is us reading God's Word. And so before we read it, I want to pray, and then we can see what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen? So why don't you join me in prayer? Thank you, God. We thank you for this morning. I ask that you would speak to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in this room, that you're moving in this place. I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God, I thank you that when the gospel is preached, when the Word of God is preached, signs and wonders follow. And so this morning, Lord, after we read your scriptures and we share the gospel, I pray, God, that people would receive healing in their bodies, in their hearts, in their mind, that they would receive freedom from their past and things that have been weighing them down and holding on to them and slowing them down from moving forward. God, I thank you that miracle-working power is in the room because you're here today. So we love you, God. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Awesome. Well, if you have a Bible, who has a nice thick Bible here this morning? Lovely. Hold it up. Give it a wave. Show it off. Go off. You guys are awesome. Cool, cool, cool. If you have a cellular device with the Bible on it, why don't you wave it proudly? Awesome. All right, let's open together to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. If you're looking for it, Romans chapter 1. When you've got it, say got it. Got it. We're going to read Romans 1 starting in verse 16. We're going to read the rest of that chapter and a little bit of the next. So I want you to read along with me. If you don't have a Bible this morning, it's okay. I was prepared and I put it up on the screens for you. But if you do have a Bible, I want you to read along with me because that way you can highlight things that stand out to you and know what we're up to, what we're reading this morning. So Romans chapter 1, verse 16, here it goes. This is Paul's letter to the Romans. For the wrath of God, oh no, that's 18. Here we go, starting with something a bit nicer. verse 16, whoops. For I am unashamed of the gospel I am unashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Any believers here this morning? Can I tell you, friends, you have power if you know the gospel. If you carry the gospel in your heart, if you've got the gospel in your mouth, if you share the gospel and preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, you, my friend, have power. I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I just lost my page because I tried to walk around and preach. But anyway, I'm coming back. Here we are. For those who believe, first to the Jew and then also to the Greek, which is also talking about the Gentiles, it's talking about us, anyone who's not a Jew. First to the Jew and then to everyone else. Verse 17, for in the righteousness of God is revealed, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the beginning of creation, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. What it's saying is, God has revealed his reality in creation itself. And so no one's without excuse. That God is revealing himself to creation, no one is without excuse. It's specifically talking about the Jewish people here, but all of us can see that God is alive. God is real. We are not an accident. I can hold a baby in my arms and look at that baby and go, wow, like this can't just be a form of gas clusters, and well, sometimes a bit gassy, but it can't just be a mistake. God is alive. Like humanity and life and creation is so special, so precious, someone had to design it. Verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, talking about the idols that their people worship. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lies and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Does that sound familiar? People giving up worshiping the Creator for creatures, for humans, for idols, for statues, for things, for machines. Sounds familiar. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to their own vile passions. For exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. It's talking about relationships with women and women and men with men, different to how God created us. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, come on somebody, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Even today, there's an approval for evil things. You can see people parading in the streets and celebrating evil things, murderous things, wicked things, things that God did not create. Paul's addressing some of these things he saw in his time. And we'll close with the first 12 verses of chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for all those who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. What it's saying is, if you're going to judge others and you still do those things, then you're judging yourself. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness? Do you despise his forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Other translations say the kindness of God leads us to repentance. It doesn't say the kindness of God allows us to keep on sinning. It doesn't say the kindness of God allows us to feel good inside. It says the kindness of God leads us to turning our life around. It leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God, that his patience and his grace for us, his kindness to actually not just judge us immediately, but stretch out an invitation to walk in a new life. His invitation, that kindness, leads us to repentance. Do you not know that his goodness will lead us to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteous indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew and then also to the Gentile. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish with the law, and those who have sinned with the law will be judged by the law. This scripture is explaining the crisis that humanity has found themselves in, but it also shares about the goodness of God. That even though God is seeing, and he has to identify, in order for you to see what you're being saved from, in order for Jesus to really save you, you have to come to an understanding that maybe some of the things in this world are not as he intended. That there is sin in this world. And if you don't know that you're living in sin, you don't know that you need a savior. And so in this passage of scripture, Paul's spelling it out. He's spelling out the sin that he sees in the world today. But he also says, glory and honor be to those who seek immortality in Christ, who seek after godly things, who seek after godly ways. He's giving this invitation that God's kindness shouldn't lead you to keep getting away with whatever you want and doing whatever you want, but it should lead you to repentance. And he's unashamed of the gospel. Sometimes I've felt a little bit like, oh man, this gospel, like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't want to offend people, because people are so offended easily these days. I made a joke about McDonald's and someone got offended and texted me and said, hey, that was really inappropriate. My friend works at McDonald's. And I was like, gosh. People get offended by anything these days. Do you know what? The gospel is a double-edged sword. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. It might hurt you, but in hurting you, it'll set you free from the things that have enslaved you and changed you. You know what? When I first read the gospel, it offended my heart because my heart was chasing after lust of the world. But when the gospel came in, it hurt and it severed something and it cut away chains that were I was enslaved into. Sometimes you need to be offended in order to be free. And the gospel will do that. And I have been ashamed of the gospel. There's been times in my life where someone said, oh, why do you go to church? And I was like, oh, just because it's nice. Just helps me live a better life. You know, people are nice to me and it feels really good. And they got good music and, you know, there's really good music and good preachers and pretty girls. And like, you know, I used to say that stuff when I was asked in high school, why do you go to church? I used to say things like, but you know what? What about just being honest? What about being honest? Well, you know, look, I don't know about you, but I've been struggling with sin. And you know what? I've actually had a lot of brokenness in my life and I needed healing. And I heard a message one day, someone told me that Jesus could heal me and save me and set me free. And so ever since I heard that message, I've been following after God, and church is a place where I can learn to seek God. And he's doing something in me. I'm not perfect yet, but man, he's changing me. But I have been ashamed of the gospel before. And maybe you can relate. But I pray that today, as we share this message, that a boldness would stir in you to actually go, I am unashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. You can hear the gospel. You can be in church all of your life. You can come to church every Sunday since you were a baby. But if you don't believe that what he did is powerful to transform you, then you won't walk in the fullness of salvation. Salvation isn't something that's supposed to happen when you die. If you're waiting until you die to be set free from sin, then death becomes your savior and not Jesus. Jesus came to set you free. He got up and read the scroll. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news to the poor in spirit, to set the captives free, not when they die, but here today, here and now. And that same anointing, that same Spirit of the Lord is in this room. And you know what? If you haven't been walking in the fullness of salvation, maybe it's a matter of choosing to have faith again, to choosing to put your faith in the work of the cross again. It says from faith to faith, that by putting your faith in him, there are times where I've felt like I've fallen back into bad habits, I've fallen back into sin, and you know what changed? My faith changed. I forgot what he had done for me. And a moment had to happen where I get on my knees and say, Lord, I repent of what I've been doing. I repent of how I've been thinking. I put my faith in the freedom that's found in the cross. I put my faith that the blood of Jesus is potent enough to purge out sin. He's a good God. I want to share with you a story this morning. This is the parable of the flight attendant. Parable of the flight attendant. I don't know if you've heard the parable of the flight attendant. If you've read your Bible cover to cover, you won't find it in there. This is not a parable that Jesus shared. This is a parable that I'm sharing this morning. And the parable of the flight attendant goes like this. There was two flight attendants, flight attendant one, flight attendant two. And there was two passengers, many passengers on the plane, but two we're going to focus on the story. Passenger number one and passenger number two. I love Shrek, so good. Here's how the story goes. First flight attendant, she's there serving the plane and all of a sudden gets a message from the pilot and she realizes that something's going on, and so she grabs a parachute pack. She walks over to one of the passengers and says, sir, I need you to take this parachute. And he says, why on earth do I need a parachute for? She goes, well, it's gonna make your flight more comfortable. It's gonna make your flight more comfortable. It'll make it better. It'll improve your flight. And he goes, oh, okay. So he puts the parachute on. He's sitting in his chair, and after about 20 minutes, he starts to feel quite uncomfortable. His back's hunched over up against the chair with his parachute on, and he's feeling uncomfortable, and he's thinking, man, this isn't improving my flight at all. This is not making my flight more comfortable at all. And he starts to look around, and he can hear the other passengers pointing and mocking and laughing at him. There was some 13-year-old teenager there taking photos, and she was putting it up on her Snapchat, and people were mocking him, teasing him, laughing at him. What on earth is this guy doing wearing a parachute on the plane? This is a commercial flight. What is he doing? And he started to feel so uncomfortable that he took his parachute off in a huff, threw it under his seat and said, this is all lies. This hasn't made my life any better. This hasn't made my flight more comfortable. And he threw it off. The other flight attendant number two, she grabbed a parachute. She went over to one of the first passengers she saw and she said, sir, I need you to put this parachute on. He said, what do I need the parachute for? And she said, because we're about to go into a state of emergency and we're gonna need to jump out of this plane any minute now. And everyone else is gonna need a parachute, but I've got one for you. Put it on, please, sir. You're going to need this. It will save your life. He puts the parachute on. Feels a little bit uncomfortable. People start mocking him. People are teasing him. 13-year-old girls are taking photos of him. His back's hunched over in the seat. Doesn't look comfy at all. But he can endure their mocking, he can endure their shame, he can endure the things people are putting on him because he knows what's about to happen. And he knows that in a minute, they will all need a parachute too. Reflecting on this story, there's more to it, but reflecting on this story. Sometimes we can be like the first passenger. We hear the gospel. We hear that we need Jesus. We hear that Jesus is a savior. And we put on the parachute, but it starts to feel uncomfortable. The world says it's not cool to wear a parachute on a plane. It's not cool to look like you go to church. It's not cool that you don't do the same things we do. That's weird. And we start to give in to the uncomfort, the discomfort of it all. And we take our salvation off. We take our faith in Christ off and shove it under our seat and hide it. We still want to have access to it a little bit, but we're ashamed of it and we hide it. Some of us could relate to that this morning. You know, the second passenger, he's there sitting there uncomfortably with his parachute on. And another flight attendant comes past and she spills coffee all over his shirt, all over his lap. And it burnt him a little bit, and he felt so yuck and felt so uncomfortable by it all. But instead of taking his parachute off and saying, "I'm done with this," he wipes himself down and clings even more tightly to his parachute. Even though times are tough, even though times are uncomfortable, he clings tightly to his parachute because he knows it's going to be the gift that saves him. Later on, the plane runs out of fuel. Something in the engine explodes and they had to jump out of the plane. Which passenger do you want to be, number one or number two? Some of you don't know. Number one or number two? Number two. But you know what? Even like reflecting on this story on another layer, I don't want to be the first flight attendant. I don't want to be the first flight attendant that goes around telling people, "Oh, Jesus will improve your life. He'll make everything better for you. He'll make you comfortable. You'll have a comfortable ride through life," because it's not true. Jesus actually warns us. He says, "You know what? To follow after me, it's going to be difficult. To really walk in my shoes, to live the life I have for you, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You're going to face persecution." He said, "People might hate you, but it's because they really hate me. It's not a personal attack against you. It's actually an attack against me." Jesus said, "You're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to be tempted by the enemy. You've got a target on your head. People are going to want to make your life miserable. But in the tough times, don't be afraid, for I have overcome the world," he says. He said, "In the tough times, don't be afraid, because you've got a parachute and they don't. In the tough times, don't be afraid, because I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will fill you with my Holy Spirit and I will give you power to overcome." The good news is not that life is going to be cruisy, that you're always going to be blessed. You will be blessed, but your blessing isn't material possessions. Your blessing is the gift of the Holy Spirit within you. That through thick and thin, through mountain high and valley low, the God of the universe wants to take your hand and walk with you through life. I don't care if I walk through a valley of the shadow of death if I know that he's with me. Life is not going to be easy. Following God's not going to be easy, but who knows that life isn't easy anyway? I would much prefer to go through hell with Holy Spirit beside my side than go through hell on my own. I would much prefer to walk through the valley of the shadow of death knowing that Christ is my Savior. I've got a parachute strapped on my back, and whatever they throw at me, it's not going to stop me. I'm not going to take it off. I'm going to jump and be free. I don't want to be like the first flight attendant, and I don't want our church to be like that either. You know, you don't have, it's not, who can agree? The second flight attendant was not mean. They were not offensive. They were not rude. They weren't a bullhorn type of preacher. But they preached the reality that you need a savior. You need help. If you continue in your sin, if you continue in the ways of this world and not choose to turn and repent and put on a parachute, you're going to die in your suffering. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Which means The very fact that if you keep on sinning, you keep on corrupting yourself on the inside, you are slowly perishing, you are slowly dying. But the gift of God is eternal life for those who believe. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. You might spill your coffee from time to time, you might make some mistakes, but you keep your parachute on. You keep your eyes focused on the goal. You know that I'm going to keep close to Christ. I may not be perfect. I might stumble and fall sometimes. I might sin. I might swear at someone in traffic. Not me personally, but we might. And when we do, we can repent and cling even tighter to our parachute again. I want to be more like the second flight attendant. I don't want a wishy-washy gospel. I don't want a wishy-washy Christianity. You know why so many people leave the church today? It's because they promised it would make their life more comfortable. You know why so many people fall away from Christianity? It's because they will promise that everything will be cruising and everything will be better if you just follow God. It's not actually true. He said, you will endure hardship and persecution and trials and tribulations, but fear not, take heart, I've overcome the world. And so, a few things I want to share with you today about this is, you know, the Bible says in that scripture we read earlier, his kindness leads us to repentance. His kindness leads us to repentance. Repentance literally means to turn or to change your mind. It means to turn or change. The best physical illustration I can give for that is if you were playing basketball and you were shooting in the enemy's hoop and you were shooting in the wrong hoop, that you would actually, to repent would be to pivot and to turn and start facing a different direction, to start setting a different goal, to start living in a different way. And a lot of people hear a gospel preached where they have to receive Jesus into their heart, but that's a twofold thing. They receive Jesus into their heart and they stop there and they keep shooting in the enemy's camp. They keep living a life of the world and they don't actually walk and face the kingdom and start walking in the kingdom and walking in their identity in Christ and doing what Jesus did. It's a twofold thing. Yes, receive Jesus into your heart. Yes, receive him into your life. But one of the most amazing things about the gospel is twofold. He came into our brokenness, but then he actually, it's not just about us inviting him into our life. It's actually he's inviting you into his. That God's inviting you into his life. That he's inviting you to be a new creation, to put on Christ, like taking off old clothes and putting on new ones, the Bible says. It's not just about receiving Jesus into your heart. That's beautiful, but it's twofold. It's also that God is inviting you into his. He's inviting you into his presence to walk by his Spirit, to walk in the kingdom. The disciples and the apostles went around preaching, the kingdom of heaven is here. It's here. Are you going to keep choosing to follow the ways of the world, or are you going to choose to repent and pivot and follow after God? You know, sometimes that's a daily thing. So sometimes it's a weekly thing to repent and face our eyes back on Christ and cling tighter to our parachute. All right. Thank you, Jesus. You know, on Friday night, my phone's vibrating because my timer's up and I don't know how to stop it. It's kind of cool. Also very distracting, so I'm not going to touch the pulpit. On Friday night when we prayed for people on the altar, there's a young man, I had a word of knowledge and I said, someone here with their right wrist, you've got pain in your right wrist just today. And I said, God wants to heal you of that. And he came forward and I prayed for his wrist. Actually, I didn't pray for his wrist. I got two of the students to pray for his wrist. And they prayed and he was healed. And everyone was like, woo, yay, like little claps, woo, yay. But you know, the same price that Jesus paid on the cross for our forgiveness is also the same price he paid for our healing. And the same blood that was shed for a sore wrist to be healed, the same blood that's shed to remove cancer from your body. It's the same blood that is shed to bring healing into your heart, to transform a life, to cause an addict to now become someone who's free. Some of you here in this room have some of those stories where you were sick and then you were healed, where you were lost and then you were found, where you were dead and then you came alive. The good news of the gospel is not just that he makes bad people good, but it's that he makes dead people come alive. That you could be dead in your sin, that you could be dead in your shame, that you could be dead without hope, and then the power of Christ comes upon you when you choose to have faith in what he has done, and something erupts in your heart, and you experience that transformation power. And that same power is here this morning. I'm unashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. That Jesus came into our brokenness. He put skin on. God came into our brokenness. He showed us what it was like for humanity to walk in relationship with God. And then he died on the cross to take the punishment of our sin upon himself, to take the weight of our shame and brokenness and sickness and iniquity upon himself, buried in the tomb, and then rose again. Let me tell you, friends, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not meant to stay in a tomb. You're not meant to stay buried in a tomb, stuck in addiction, stuck in sin. There is hope for you. There is hope for you. I want to invite the worship team to come join us this morning. But there is hope, and I want this to grip your hearts this morning. The gospel is not now you must be holy. The gospel is also not now you can do whatever you want and get away with it. The gospel is this: because of what Christ did, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, now you can be holy. Now you can. There is an invitation from the Father heart of God to walk in the newness of life. It comes by faith. It comes by repentance and putting your trust in him. And I needed to hear that again this week. And I hope you did too. Let's be like the second flight attendant. Let's be like the second passenger. And let's walk unashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning, church? We're going to pray and worship. Thank you, Jesus. If you're with me this morning, why don't you just close your eyes in this place? Let's just have a time of putting our eyes on God and time of reflection. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that there is hope. I thank you, Lord, that there is hope, that you would take a wretch like me and transform my life. God, I thank you for all the transformation that's happened in this room, for saving so many souls, Lord. I thank you for so many awesome people, Lord, who cling tightly to their parachute, cling tightly to salvation in Christ. But God, I pray this morning for anyone here who's been battling shame, anyone here this morning that's been battling discomfort or an uncomfortability, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them by your Spirit today. I pray for those that are here today, Lord, that still be shooting in the wrong hoop, for those that still be stuck in the habits of the world and the ways of the world. Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would begin to heal their heart and restore again and again. That, Lord, it's not by might or in our own strength or our striving that we walk in the newness of life. It's because of what you did on the cross. So, Lord, help us to have faith and understand all that you've done. Help us to see you rightly. And that when we go through tough times, may we not become uncomfortable, but let us hold tightly to this hope we have in you. We will not be shaken. We will not be ashamed. Help us to walk in the kingdom lifestyle that you've displayed for us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With every eye closed here this morning, I want to give people an opportunity to make a decision to surrender their life to God, to surrender their life to Jesus Christ. Not just to invite him into your heart, but to actually surrender unto God and to follow after him. So with every eye closed in the room this morning, if that's you, if you're here today and you are feeling a desire in your heart that you know it's time to surrender, not just believe, but to surrender. If that's you, I would love for you to pop up your hand this morning as a sign, not even just for me, but for God to see, God, I want to surrender this morning. I want to follow you. I want to surrender. I'm not going to shoot in the enemy's camp anymore. God, I need your help. I'm repenting this morning. I'm surrendering. It's just for God, not even for me to see. Just raise your hand this morning. Awesome. Hands everywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe it's the first time this morning you're saying, I need to follow you, Jesus. I need your help. Thank you, God. Let's pray this morning. In Jesus' name, why don't you pray this prayer after me? Say, dear Jesus, I need your help. I'm sorry for where I've took my eyes off you. Today I correct my vision. I put my faith in you and all that you've done. I thank you for enduring the cross to set me free so that sin would have no hold of me anymore. I declare by the power of Christ, I am free. I am free. I am free. And say this with me. Say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. You are my God and my Savior. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I hold on to salvation. I thank you for your forgiveness. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's have some time to worship this morning. And as the worship team lead us, if you need prayer for something, healing in your body, if you want to pray over what we talked about this morning, why don't you come to the front and our prayer team's going to be here to lay hands on you and support you and pray for you. Feel free to come on through. Otherwise, let's worship. We've got a good God, a really good God. And through tough times, He'll never let us down. Never let us down.